our guest is here, and on the phone with us tonight, we have Oleg Adbashian. Now, Oleg is quite an interesting individual, and Oleg, before moving to the U.S. in 1994, Adbashian lived in the Ukraine, where he sometimes worked as a propaganda artist for the old Soviet Union. He created agitprop posters for the local party committee in a small town. And during that time, Oleg says he witnessed the transition of the republics of the Soviet Union from corrupt socialism to corrupt kleptocracy. Now, when he arrived in the U.S., Adbashian was puzzled by the level of delusion affection for all things left among the liberal intellectual elites who take America's exclusive well-being for granted. At that time, Oleg dismissed this delusional affection as silly and of little consequence. And on the phone with us now, we have Oleg Adbashian. Oleg, welcome to the Radio Jihad Network.
Well, welcome to your listeners and you, Alan. Nice talking to you again.
Welcome, Oleg. This is Vito. Thank you for coming on.
Oh, hey, Vito. Where is Alan?
I'm right here. Thank you for coming on.
All right. So how can I help you, gentlemen?
Well, you had just... you and your beautiful wife have just put out an article called The Victims of Islamic Intimidation Unite. And this was a phenomenal article, and we're very happy to have you on. So you can go through it and explain to our audience why this article is so important and how it's relevant to life on the ground today.
Well, we already know what the Islamic organizations are doing in this country, and again, those organizations are trying very hard to identify themselves with the rest of the Muslim populations and claim that they're their representatives. And so, anything is said about them automatically then becomes something that is said against all Muslims, but that is not true, and we need to identify that and fight that. Same with the leftists. They have learned this from the left. The left has been doing it for a long time, claiming that they represent different minority groups in the working classes or the oppressed. And so anything said against the left is, by the same token, goes against the people or the people's interests. The Democrats are also using this strategy when you speak up against the Democrats, that means you're against the people or the people's interests. If you criticize Obama, you do not want the people to have a better life. That's how they position it. So the same thing is happening with Islamic organizations who are claiming that whatever is said against their goals and intentions is said against all Muslims. But we need to be clear that this is not the case, and also not be afraid to stand up to these bullies, because that's what they do. They bully us, they intimidate us into submission, and they are using the freedoms that this country has and the rights that you enumerated in the prior segment, all these rights to free speech, to free assembly, to voice your opinion, free press, the equal protection before the law. They are using all these rights against us in order to create a system that eventually, in their ideal, will remove all those rights from us. So what happened is that CARE, Florida, the Council of American Islamic Relations, is working very actively to undermine the current American system and to create a special position for the Muslims in this country. And again, not for all the Muslims, for the ideologically driven Islamic radicals. So what happened is that they recently created a flyer that invited Muslims to complain to them, come to them with their grievances, whether they're imaginary or real. And I can read that fire to you right now. It says, CAREFOR that has been receiving an increase of complaints by law-abiding American Muslims inappropriately targeted by law enforcement for questioning. This is a direct result of Islamophobic training. CARE has discovered many law enforcement officers in Florida are receiving. Join us this Saturday for an important program to learn how to protect yourself, your family, and your community against harassment by law enforcement or discrimination by businesses.
Hola, can I ask you a question real quick?
Mm-hmm.
I think it's interesting that you picked up on this CARE Florida issue. Do you think that now CARE, the Council on American Islamic Rights Relations, is ramping up their efforts to victimhood of Muslims in the United States? I mean, why Florida all of a sudden? Where did this come out of? I mean, what's the discrimination all about now? We've heard nothing, we've read nothing in newspapers about Muslims being discriminated against by police. The only issue was Trayvon Martin, and now is Trayvon Martin a Muslim? I mean,
he wasn't, but you see, they are creating these false grievances, and again, this is something from the Radical Leftist Handbook that they have learned to use. Previously, they were another branch of CARE in California was distributing another flyer, the text is pretty short. It says, build a wall of resistance, don't talk to the FBI. And it shows the picture of doors slamming on an FBI agent who is like a pretty dark, menacing character, something like out of a Spy versus Spy cartoon. And again, this is all from the leftist handbook. They were doing this, not handbook, playbook. Well, in handbook too.
Yeah.
they've been doing it since the 60s, opposing the FBI. Don't talk to the FBI, boycott law enforcement agencies, even though the FBI may have legitimate concerns, and we all know how legitimate they are, because once in a while, the plots are being discovered to destroy property, lives, confidence in our system and in the rule of law. That the FBI is working hard to protect us. I mean, there are different people at FBI, and the current policies that Obama is now introducing may not be. I'm sure it frustrates the honest FBI agents just as much as regular citizens. But on average, if there is such a thing as Islamic extremism and terrorism, then the FBI needs to be involved. So anyway, telling people not to cooperate with the FBI is incitement to be disloyal to this country. And they can only be loyal to their own groups, and CARE aims to be such a group. What they do is, it's like the racket scheme. Yes,
Nothing?
Well, let's read one of these flyers from CARE, the Council on American Islamic Relations, which you have embedded in your article. I think it'll help set up the next part of where you were going with your previous statement. The flyer is very easy. It says, are you a victim of employment discrimination? Have you been contacted by the FBI or harassed by law enforcement? Is your employer giving you a hard time because of your job and won't give you time to pray? Have you or someone you know been mistreated for practicing their faith? Treated unfair? Call CARE. Treated unfair? Call CARE at 813-514-1414.
Right, and thank you for reading that again. This message represents the ongoing phenomenon of lawfare, and this is a form of asymmetric warfare that is used frequently by CARE and other Islamic groups to establish precedent and victory in our legal system.
Okay, when you say asymmetric warfare, Oleg, what exactly do you mean, and how does warfare, even in law and in legal suits, even get into the same sentence?
Well, because it is a war. It is a war for the hearts and minds. It is a war to change the system, and it also borders on violence oftentimes, since you know, there is the violent arm of Islamic extremism, which is terrorism, killing people, intimidating them. So what CARE does, they don't kill anyone, they just try to kill our spirit, our resistance. I think warfare is a legitimate term. Now, why is it asymmetric? It's because they are using different means. We are not fighting by the same rules. Or oftentimes it is a war on their part, on our part. It's not even a war. We did not, for the longest time, American government and America didn't do anything to oppose it. A war had been declared against us, against the entire Western world, and we did nothing. So they were basically operating with impunity for the longest time. And now that we are discovering it and we're trying to fight back, we are being handcuffed. We're being put in straitjackets. We cannot respond. And the legal system is being turned against us. We do not have any recourse right now, and the CARE is using it against us. But we do have recourse. We need to think clearly. We shouldn't be running scared, but sit and with a clear head think about our options. And some of those options are to file countersuits and have our own make this asymmetric warfare more symmetric and fight them with their own means. For instance, we have created a flyer. My wife has come up with this idea. I helped her to design it. A flyer that says, "Are you a victim of intimidation by an Islamic group? Has your business been threatened by CARE or any other Muslim organization? Are you being harassed by frivolous claims of discrimination? Do any of your Muslim employees demand preferential treatment, additional breaks for prayer, or dress code accommodation? Contact SIOA, Stop Islamization of America, at sioa.florida@gmail.com. And
can you tell our listeners a little bit about the SIOA, Stop the Islamization of America?
It is a group created by Pamela Geller and Robert Spencer a while ago for this particular purpose, to stop Islamization of America, because this deliberate, premeditated Islamization is happening all over the world, wherever Muslims move in. And again, I'm not talking about all the Muslims, but the ideologically driven radicals who are trying to convert, bent on converting the entire world to Islam, or at least to make everybody bent to the will of Islam. So at first, there is a tendency, and I read it in an article by a former Muslim, who I don't remember who the author is exactly right now, but it says that when the Muslims are in a small majority, they try to obey by the laws of the country and do not stick out. When their presence increases to about 5%, they begin to demand special rights. When it's about 10%, they start threatening others and make them accommodate to all their needs and change laws to accommodate to their needs, to their religion, which is not actually a religion, but more of an ideological, political system. And so basically, whenever they are in a foreign country that has a different set of laws, they are trying to change those laws to accommodate to their laws, because their political system is in conflict with the system of the host country.
If I can interrupt you for 1 second, I have to say that Pam and Robert Spencer are regular guests on the Jamie Glazoff show, which is tomorrow night. We'll be on tomorrow night, and they are excellent guests. And, well, I tell you what, we have on the phone, Oleg, if you'd like to speak to one of our favorite Muslim callers, and her name is Saba Ahmed. Would you like to speak to Saba?
Sure.
Okay, Saba.
Hi.
Saba Ahmed, welcome to the Radio Jihad Network. You're on the phone with Oleg, Vito, and
Hello.
Al.
Hello. Assalamu alaikum, everyone.
My salami.
You were questioning the posters that Oleg had wrote and printed in the American Thinker article. You were a victim of Islamic intimidation. Are you saying that the San Francisco CARE did not draw up that wall of resistance? So you're calling Oleg a liar? I find that
I didn't know who created it. I was asking the question because first they were saying it was the CARE Florida that created it, and then they said it was CARE California, and so we were just discussing.
No, CARE California and CARE Florida did their biggest ruse about creating some sort of discrimination of employment now that Oleg and Larissa actually rightly pointed out. So do you have a question for Oleg?
Well, I just wanted to point out, I was listening to you guys the past several minutes, and I seemed really angry at Muslims, and I was just wondering that, there are a lot of good, peaceful Muslims around here, and, you talked about the Brotherhood taking over Egypt, and there was some talk about, Brother Obama on the chat thing, and, how it's taking over White House and stuff, and, I just don't understand why we're so anti-Islam over here, why do you guys hate us so much?
See, there you start with that hate crap. Do you have a question for Oleg? Or we'll go to a different caller.
Well, I always try to distinguish the extremist organizations and the ideologues from the regular people, because there are a lot of former residents of Muslim countries who come to the West, to the United States, to have a better life, and they try to assimilate and live as all of normal Americans do, and I don't have anything against them, and neither do any of the Americans. They're only glad that they're here and they have a chance for a better life. What happens?
Right,
but
then who are you talking about when you talk about the, in your article you talked about the Stop Islamic Intimidation, and that to me as a Muslim sounds very offensive. I'm not trying to intimidate anyone, but I'd like to, coexist.
Right,
with
and I'm not saying that...
Jesus, coexist.
And I'm not saying that all Muslims are like that, but what happens is that the organizations like CARE or ISNA or some others are creating campaigns designed to intimidate others, to shut up anybody who opposes the spread of their ideology. And again, the ideology is not as much Islam as the idea that people of the world need to give Muslim a special status. Well, why do Muslims need to be treated differently from anybody else, from people who come here from any other country? They should be equal, because a special status means that they're not equal. Whether they're worse than others, they need an upper hand, or they're better than others. But in a normal society, nobody should be better than anybody else.
Right. I think, as Americans, we should all be, we are all equal, and I just...
Yes.
Saba,
I got a question for you. Why is it that some Muslims at the workplace demand prayer time 5 times a day and demand to have special accommodations? I mean, I'm offended by that as a business owner. I'm offended if my employee makes demands upon me that is not, because I have to accommodate everybody equally. So why do many Muslims do that, and why would CARE file a lawsuit against me if I don't comply? That's bullying.
I think,
and
I'll tell you, as a Muslim, you know, to pray five times a day is a requirement, and it takes like five times.
No, that is untrue, and let me tell you why. Because I was in Egypt 2 years ago. Our tour guide was a devout Muslim. He told me, I asked him, I said, well, don't you need to stop the bus and pray five times a day? Because we were with him all day long. He said, no. He said, the Quran allows me, if I am working, to catch up on my prayers at a time when I am not working. Now, this gentleman is a devout Muslim from Egypt.
Well, I haven't read that in the Quran. I don't know where he got that from, but I haven't seen that from my basic understanding. And
you're wrong. You're wrong. You're wrong. You're wrong. Sorry.
That's your interpretation of it. But as a business owner myself, I mean, I can tell you that, you know, that's like, you know, we usually accommodate it out of the lunchtime, and there's other ways of accommodating. You just don't have to, like, you know, treat Muslims badly just because they're...
No. It's just the fact that you demand it and you back it up. CARE backs it up with threatening lawsuits is what I think Oleg was getting at.
It's a civil rights issue.
We're having a conversation, not a unilateral session. Now, Oleg, what do you think of what Saba said?
The rules... banned usually according to the current what's currently convenient, and oftentimes what I hear from people who are you know, the CARE types is that they often banned any rule to accommodate to their current needs, to their current agenda. So I'm not, I know a few things about Islam. I'm not by any means an expert, but what you told me about not postponing a prayer if you're working rings true. Like, for instance, during the war, I'm sure nobody makes breaks for prayer. They continue fighting until it's over, and then they pray. The pious calls to stop everything during the Ramadan and not to do not to get Muslims involved into any activities during their holy months or during the prayer time is all nice, but oftentimes in Muslim countries, a lot of violence erupts during Ramadan. The wars happen during Ramadan, invasions happen during Ramadan. So they are not, they only want others to abide by those rules, but not themselves. While, remember how the war against Israel was launched on Yom Kippur, when, again, it's a holy time in the Jewish faith. For 3 days, I think. Again, I'm not an expert on Jewish faith either, but
one day.
Yom Kippur is a big holiday of grievance where all activities should be suspended, and the war happened in Yom Kippur for that particular reason. So no other religions are respected or religious rights, so why do they demand that theirs is expected the same, respected the same way? They do not respect it themselves in their own rules, but we need to respect them. So this
excellent point. We need to respect them. It's forced upon us now. Oh my Gotti, Gotti's back. Welcome.
Hey guys.
Hey Gotti.
Hi, Gotti.
We have as a guest, we have Mr. Oleg Atbasan, who wrote "Are You a Victim of Islamic Intimidation?" in the American Thinker with him and his wife Larissa Scott, and we're speaking to Oleg with regards to the CARE Florida misinformation. I'm sorry, the mass mailing they sent out with the message that CARE Florida is receiving an increase in complaints by law-abiding American Muslims, which is a bunch of crap. But it's a way now to play that that victim card. So do you have a question for Mr. Oleg?
No, I've been going back and forth between the microphone and the other end of the office, so I haven't really been hearing everything. About the only thing I can comment on, he was talking about the Yom Kippur War in 1973, and everything he said was correct except for the fact that Yom Kippur is the Day of Atonement. It's
yes.
The day when we ask for forgiveness, and it only lasts one day. But everything else he said was 100%.
Daddy, I have a question for you.
Hello, Saba.
Hi, how are you?
Keep it really short because we have Oleg on it, and he's our guest,
sure.
And we'd like
yes.
to focus
well,
it on,
I think it was
on the care of deception.
Like, well, it was
I'll keep
you,
it short,
Daddy?
Too, because I'm running back out again. Go ahead, Saba.
Sure. So on Saturdays for the Sabbath, do you guys get work accommodations, or do they, like, as a business owner, hasn't there been, like, civil rights lawsuits that have protected the right to pray and take the Saturday off for Jewish workers?
What, for Jewish people? Absolutely not.
Yeah.
None that I'm aware of, and I'll tell you why. Because if you go to areas where people are extremely devout Jews, whether they're
mm-hmm.
ultra-Orthodox or Hasidic, you will find that they work in other places that are extremely Orthodox Jews, so they're not even open on the Sabbath. But my point would be this, Saba. If you have a Jew who's an Orthodox Jew, let's say he doesn't want to go near pigs because they're not kosher, he's not going to take a job in a supermarket where he has to worry about selling them. Unlike Muslims in this country who will take the job and then after they have the job, they sue the employer saying, oh, but this is my religious right. I can't do this. No, that's why you don't hear about Jews having this issue, because Jews will only work in places that already accommodate them or they won't even apply for the job.
But in hashtag, you're working like 24/7, 7 days a week. You're traveling and how do the Jewish folks...
Answer Gotti's question, Saba.
No, I just turned her off. I want to focus on Oleg right now. I'm fascinated by the poster that they made up. Are you a victim of intimidation by an Islamic group? Contact Stop Islamization of America. Have you received any backlash with regards to this poster? Have you seen any hate mail as being Islamophobic?
No, not yet. And even if there is any, I have I'm writing a new article on Islamophobia and what it is, what a big ruse it is, and how it's completely irrational to demonize the entire nation by calling it Islamophobic. It's like there is some kind of guild of Muslim psychiatrists who have made a diagnose for the nation without any medical degree or even a second opinion. So I'm not easily intimidated. I have been harassed by party apparatchiks and the KGB back in the Soviet Union in my time because I was part of the... I can't say I was like a big prominent dissident, but I was part of the underground dissident network in a way. So I have been intimidated. I have been threatened. I've learned to rely only on my own inside sources for strength, and I do not need any other person to tell me what I can and what I cannot do. And I came to this country thinking that I would be free finally to live peacefully and mind my own business without the need to fight anyone. I didn't want to fight. I'm not a fighter by nature. But the situation that we're currently in does not allow me for that, so I started my political activities again. And again, we're talking about Islam right now and Islamic intimidation. I mean, rather, intimidation by radical Islamic groups. But my main focus is the left, the ideology of socialism that is creating a very dangerous situation in the entire world and in this country in particular. And their alliance with Islam only shows how wrong they are in everything. And again, their alliance, again, not with Islam, it's just Islam is a shortcut for a much bigger phenomenon, which is the supremacist movement of Islamic radicals. So,
well, Oleg, I got a question for you. You brought up something interesting a couple of seconds ago, and that was you've seen the oppression. You've seen this happen in Russia. What opened your eyes in America, and why do you draw that parallel between the Democratic Party and Islam? Is it that the Democratic Party is weak enough to accept the domination of Islam, or that the Islam sees the weakness of the Democratic Party so they can infiltrate it and move their agenda forward in almost an easy fashion?
Yeah, it's a cooperation based on the temporary convenience. They are convenient to each other at this particular time. They may not be in the future, but right now, what happens is that currently the Democrats, who have been completely hijacked by the radical left lately, and we see this in President Obama and his appointees and his entire cabinet made of radical leftists, they have divided the country, I mean the left, and now the Democrats are following that same system, divided the country into the so-called minority grievance groups, minority pressure groups. I call them collectivist pressure groups. They divided the country into this patchwork of various minorities whose interests, they tell them which interests they, what their grievances are, what their interests are, and they claim to represent them, fight for their interests, but all the minorities are people and all share the same human interests. None of them are separate species, including, like, they call the women a minority. Women are like probably 50% all over the world, roughly. They can't be a minority, but and their interests, they're not a special species. Their interests are just the same as men, and if the economy is good, it's better for the women too. So why would all different groups be separate and fight for their own interests and pull the blankets on each other, on themselves, at the expense of everybody else? Same with the unions. The unions are pulling the blanket on themselves at the expense of everybody else. So we have less. The more the unions have, the less we have. So the left has created the balkanizing the country, and the multiculturalist idea is helping them, whether they want it or not. It creates balkanization and division, and it antagonizes people or those groups that they have created. Instead of all us being equal and melting together in one melting pot into one American nation, we are being kept separate, and people are newly arrived immigrants are encouraged to live in their ethnic enclaves, where they would be kept uninformed, uneducated, and stupid and poor, so that somebody who claims to be the representative, usually somebody in the Democrat Party, would be speaking for them on their behalf, and that ensures votes. And that is the most immoral, the most sinister scheme that you can think of. The people are treated not as people, but as spiritless, mindless creatures. So that's what the Democrats are doing. And now when the Muslims appeared and suddenly their population has grown rapidly, the Democrats figured that they are a very good constituency. So they are appeasing, they are collaborating with radical Muslim groups so that to create the impression that the Republicans are the enemies of the Muslims and the Democrats are the friends. So the more the Muslims are in the country, the more votes the Democrats will get. So they encourage the, I don't know how it works with the immigration, but the rest of the story is the same with the Muslims as with all the previous minority pressure groups. For the Muslims, it's also very convenient. They keep alliance. I mean, not the, again, I'm talking about the radical ideologues. They keep alliance with the leftists, with the Democrats, because they are being appeased, and all their demands are being met. So what's not to like? Of course they work in alliance. But once they, like, if you project the situation in the future and assume that the left have completely won and they have taken all the power in the country and bend it to their own will, then their ultimate goals are different from that of the Muslims. Oh, in one aspect they're similar, because in both systems, if the society is ruled by the Sharia law, or if it's ruled by some kind of some sort of a Marxist system, the people will, in both cases, be the timid sheeple, the voiceless, the obedient ones, who only expect the government to take care of them without any will, knowledge, or desire to take their own life in their own hands and succeed on their own without the guidance of the elites that rule over them.
Oleg, now you've grew up in a in another country, and you know, you were exposed to the Russian value system. What attracted you to the American value system? And did you come straight from Russia to the United States, or did you go through another country where you've learned their customs as well?
Actually, technically speaking, I was born and raised in Ukraine. I did live in Russia for a while, and particularly in Siberia for 3 years. That's where I worked
by choice,
as a propaganda artist.
Oh.
Yeah. They, yeah. That was about the old way. If you were didn't have any perspectives and you were a young man and dirt poor, you could go to Siberia where there was a little more freedom. There were oil deposits, and you could make more money because the government encouraged people to come. It was, the climate was very harsh, and so people were paid more in order to live there. And that's how I wound up there. But to answer your question, I have traveled extensively in the USSR, and which it was an amalgamation of different cultures. The communists were trying to eliminate all the differences and, you know, meld everything into one, based on Russian culture. But I traveled in Uzbekistan, which was a Muslim Soviet Republic. I was in Turkmenistan. I went to different places in Russia and Ukraine. I have seen a few cultures before that. But then I went directly to the United States, and what attracted me in this country was that this idea that an individual is free. And as opposed to the rest of the world, where the idea of the government, the model of the government, is that the government takes care of the people. The American model was different in that sense. It's the American ideal is that the government only makes sure that people are free to take care of themselves. And that is what I wanted. I wanted to take care of myself. I didn't want to depend on anyone. I wanted to just take my life in my own hands and be happy that way, and raise a family. Now, of course, ironically, I wound up in New York at first, which was not exactly a place where individualism was encouraged. So I was pretty much dismayed at... first, actually, I came to California.
Gotcha.
And then I settled in New York. And in California, I lived in the Bay Area, and all the people that I was in communication with were, I didn't realize it then. Now I understand they were what is currently called moonbat lefties. At the time when I first came, I thought they were just regular Americans. And that's why I couldn't understand what's going on in this country. How come these people who do not value or take for granted all this prosperity and all these advancements that America can offer, they didn't value it. They would not be able to create any of that. So I was wondering what the hell is going on. How is it possible that America has developed this culture without with this kind of people? Now, then I went to New York. There was it was a little different than California, but still most of it was what I now realize a big liberal bubble. And the opinions just bounced off one another without any outside fresh air. The media, the people were all brewing in one big petri dish of liberalism. And I was, again, trying to figure out what makes America tick. Nothing made sense. And I kind of gave up, actually. I did do some research. I was reading a lot. But what I was reading was the New York Times, Newsweek, Time Magazine. I was listening to the radio. Again, it was the NPR, the local WNYC, the New York station of NPR. And again, it was all very confusing. So I kind of gave up, and I thought I'll just focus on my own life, and that's why I came here, because I was sick of politics back in the old country. I just wanted to live happily without worrying about anything. And, you know, in a normal state, a human shouldn't worry about politics. A human should worry about his own life, his own family, and self-improvement.
Well, you're picking up of this whole care issue in Florida. I thought, you know, in your world travels, you were pretty perceptive in doing so to see that they're launching this fraudulent tactic of intimidation, this fraudulent victimhood of discrimination. And I thought it was pretty intuitive that you and your wife picked this up right away, and the culprits being CARE. I mean, I'm fascinated that you guys had done this, and you had the intestinal fortitude to write this story and back it up with the two posters that they're disseminating amongst the Islamic community in America.
This is peanuts compared to the rest of what I'm doing. And if you go to you could look me up, Oleg Abdashian, in Google, and read all the articles I've been writing. You can look up my book, Shakedown Socialism, that I published last year. You can it's available on Amazon. You can go to thepeoplescube.com, which is my satirical website, where I which is basically a spoof of the leftist ideology, where it is a satire.
What is that again? What's that website again?
ThePeoplesCube.com.
ThePeoplesCube.com. .com. Okay.
And what is the People's Cube? If you know what the Rubik's Cube is, right?
Right.
Try to imagine what a politically correct Rubik's Cube would look like. It would have all sides equal. And, of course, they would be gloriously red. So all sides are equal, all squares are equal, and then all the players are also equal. Nobody is too smart, nobody is too slow, and it preserves every player's self-esteem, and everybody is an equal winner. Equality of results is what it offers to the players instead of equality of opportunities, which is actually how the world is supposed to work. So the People's Cube, I just explained what it is, the joke behind it, and then the rest of it is just satirical articles and spoofs, parodies, lots of graphics. So I hope you and your readers will enjoy it. It has a pretty large following.
Well, thank you. We'll go to your article in The American Thinker, Are You a Victim of Islamic Intimidation? Oleg and your wife, Larissa Scott, wrote this article, and it's about the radical Islamic organization CARE Florida and their attempt to create some sort of a discrimination that's not there in Florida. So they're ramping up their their taqiyya.
Yeah, and it's of course they kill several birds with one stone with this, because on the one hand they are intimidating the rest of the population. But also they are creating, establishing themselves in the Muslim community as their leaders. And let me quote the article here. CARE's faith-based protection racket is now working its way to replace all other means of social interaction for Muslim immigrants, aiming to become the only game in town for all American Muslims. But the rules of this game, in exchange for protection, they dare not assimilate and integrate into the larger society, accept American traditions and values, and most importantly, dare not leave Islam. The only winners will be the radical Muslim elites, who manipulate their constituents through such front organizations as CARE, ISNA, ICNA, and others. The losers will be the rest of us, including the Muslims themselves, especially the law-abiding, assimilated immigrants among them. And the framework for such games has been inadvertently established by the fallacious multiculturalist doctrine, which I had mentioned before. As every utopian idea before it, multiculturalism has created the opposite of the intended result. Along with the proliferation of scams and abuse of other people's idealism. And that's what all utopians' ideas result in, including socialism in the USSR. Idealists have created, but then crooks have taken over and were abusing the system all the way. And the propaganda was still trying to keep the population idealistic, thinking that it's all based on this good idea of equality, while in reality the elites were just ripping everybody off. Now, and that's what happens everywhere socialism is created. So this is already happening in America. You can see the advance of crony capitalism. So anyway, back to our multiculturalism. So instead of bringing peace to the nations that have tried it, multiculturalism has created division, hostility, and balkanization. In the United States, it also allowed for the rise of radical collectivist pressure groups and separatist movements, such as La Raza, Black Panthers, and others, all of them intrinsically aligned with the radical left. Muslim radicals joined in the Quran years later, but they quickly learned how to capitalize on the existing ideological and litigious infrastructure, achieving an even greater prominence than their predecessors and in much shorter time. What else? The article goes on then to quote one of the founders of CARE, Omar M. Ahmad, who once said that Islam isn't in America to be equal to any other faith, but to become dominant. The Quran, the Muslim book of scripture, should be the highest authority in America, and Islam the only accepted religion on earth.
I've heard that somewhere before.
Excuse me?
Vito says that just about every other show, if not every show. It is such a strong quote.
Right. And this is, yeah. And, you know, there was right after 9/11, and after actually when I was talking about my own kind of intellectual journey in the US, in this country, I was pretty confused until 9/11. When 9/11 happened, I lived in New York. I happened to be right at the foot of the Twin Towers when they fell. And that was such a life-changing moment for me. And I realized as I was watching the towers burn, I realized that this is the beginning of the war that may last for a lifetime. And so I would have to give up all the other expectations and plans, and life would be very different afterwards, and it has been. So then I began to see how my people who I thought were my friends or who I looked to for an opinion started saying completely insane things, like America was at fault, it was America's fault that it happened, that it was coming, and we had it coming. Sort of like what Jeremiah Wright said, America's chicken came home to roost. I was trying to argue with them, saying that, no, you're so misguided. This is so wrong. You haven't been outside of this country. You don't know how the rest of the world looks like, what the rest of the world looks like, how it operates. It's completely the wrong idea. America is still the beacon of light in the world. They immediately assumed that I was some sort of a right-wing extremist, some kind of ultra-conservative far-right religious bigots, whatever epithets or labels they have for the rational, right-minded people. And then it was a loss for me also. I lost quite a few friends then. And then I decided to research what are those right-wing conservatives are. And I found them. And not in New York, though, but outside of New York. And I realized that there were much better people than any of the liberals I had ever known before. They were more informed, more open-minded, more thinking, more rational, more wittier, with a better sense of humor. So anyway, that's where I've been ever since and never looked back. Whenever I see ramblings of a leftist ideologue, I just cannot take them seriously. And my choices in no way depend on anybody's opinion of me, especially if it's coming from the left. This quote about America bending to Islam is very indicative. And it is apparent that CARE's goal is not so much to contribute to the American society, as all well-meaning immigrants tend to be, but rather to replace our constitutional republic with an oppressive Islamic theocracy. And they're currently setting up such a framework, and they so far have been successful. A framework for this. I mean, they, of course, nowhere near creating such a society, but they are setting up a framework that can assist in creating such a society.
That's well said. Ola, can you plug your websites again for our listeners?
Okay, my main satirical website is thepeoplescube.com. And for a while I was the only author, but then I was joined by others and people all over America joining in and contributing articles and artwork. So it's now more of a communal effort. It is called thepeoplescube.com. And it is sort of like a spoof of the leftist ideology, and we pretend to be hardline leftists, sort of like the version of Stalinist Politburo discussing the current events in the world and the United States from that point of view. Rush Limbaugh called the People's Cube the Stalinist version of The Onion, because he once praised one of my cartoons, and then I was invited to call in the show, and we spoke for about 15 minutes. It was great.
And then you have the Shakedown Socialism. That's your book.
Shakedown Socialism is the book, and I also have a website for it, shakedownsocialism.com, and it tells people about me, the author, the book itself, what it's about, gives sample chapters, and you can also order an autographed copy, or you can buy it on Amazon.com. It also has a list of my publications, so if you're interested in what I have to say, you can read more of the serious articles. Because I write a lot of satire and parody, but I also write serious articles, and so the links are all collected on shakedownsocialism.com.
Well, great. Oleg, we're speaking to Oleg Atbashian. He wrote an article, "Are You a Victim of Islamic Intimidation?" that appeared in the American Thinker. Please go to the American Thinker. Oleg, we thank you so much for coming on, and I'm definitely going to check out the Shakedown Socialism and the thepeoplescube.com.
And we have a lot of materials on Islam and terrorism in the Middle East. If you browse the site, you will find, I'm sure you'll get a kick out of it.
Well, great. Thank you so much for coming on tonight.
Thanks.
Oleg, this is Al. Thank you so much for coming on, and regards to Larissa. You've been a great guest, and we hope you will be back on, and you can come on again soon. And if there's any world events that are happening, please call in, and and give us your take on it. It's very fascinating.